This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Republican legislative leaders released their plan for the state budget late Monday. The bill includes a 6.5% average pay hike for teachers and a $60 million fund for Hurricane Matthew recovery. It would also raise pay for full-time state employees and cut corporate taxes. What the budget does not include, however, is room for debate. State Republican leaders have said they plan to refuse budget amendments and will not take public input. The complicated 267-page budget is expected to be rushed through a final vote by Friday. Critics have called the process secretive and dictatorial. Jeff Tiberius, WNC's Capitol Bureau Chief, and has been covering the budget negotiations. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hello, Frank.
Let's start with the headlines. It's an election year, so pay raises and tax cuts, right?
Absolutely. That can be expected. Overall, this budget of $23.9 billion represents growth of just about 4% compared to a year ago. That does keep up with inflation and population growth, exceeds it by a bit. You mentioned average 6.5% raise for teachers across the board. Of course, that varies depending on the number of years of experience, the education. I mean, there are various factors within the teacher package. 8% of a bump for highway patrol troopers. There's a 2% raise, a modest increase for rank-and-file state employees, and another $60 million for Hurricane Matthew relief. Those are some of the bigger numbers. But as you mentioned, 200-plus pages of a policy document, 400-plus pages of a money report. There are all kinds of details in there.
Well, and a corporate tax cut, that follows in line with what's been happening. And, of course, even with that latest pay raise, critics will say that we are still, the state of North Carolina, still not spending at a per-pupil basis at the rate we were before 2008. And, of course, the critics are saying if you would not cut taxes anymore, perhaps you could fund a fully fund education in North Carolina. So that would be part of the critique if there were to be a debate. But there will be no amendments. Tell us about this process, Jeff.
So for the first time, we believe, talking with lawmakers and other members of the press corps who have been here a lot longer than I have and staff members, this is the first time since at least the early 1970s when there will not be amendments at the very least offered during the discourse, the process of passing a budget. What they're doing instead of running a budget through both chambers, typically both chambers pass a budget document, then they choose lawmakers who go behind closed doors and they hash out the negotiations, and what emerges is known as a conference report. Well, they've skipped kind of the first two-thirds of the process this year, and what is emerging is simply a conference report. And when a conference report emerges, when it gets to the floor of either the House and the Senate, it's a simple up and down vote. There will not be amendments. It's not part of the protocol when you take this route. So there will be debate today in the Senate and tomorrow in the Senate, then Thursday, Friday in the House, but there will be no opportunity for changes. Now, you know, sometimes changes are offered for political reasons. Sometimes, as we've mentioned here, there's 700 pages of budget documents, we'll call them. Sometimes you make a mistake, right? You need to add an amendment because there's a typo or there's a correction that was an oversight, whether nefarious and sinister or truly accidental, but they're not allowing for that, which can be problematic.
Well, and we've already discovered what may have been a mistake. There was funding cut out for suicide prevention. Talk about that as the possibility of precisely an example of precisely what you're talking about.
Right. This is a prime example. Suicide Prevention Lifeline in North Carolina receives about 60,000 calls each year, and it has been funded by federal block grant money. Well, that ended this year, and it then became incumbent upon the state to fund it. It does not seem as though this was some nefarious or sinister approach to defunding the Suicide Prevention Lifeline, but rather that they weren't thinking about it, and as they put this budget forward in kind of a final stage, not open to the public for debate or critique, it can't be changed. So there's, I believe it's about $349,000 worth of funding that is needed, and I was told yesterday by a couple of different folks that it was an honest oversight, but an oversight nonetheless that is really a casualty of this rushed process. The plan is to fix it. most likely in what we call a technical corrections bill that will come after the budget. But again, a product of really moving this thing forward.
And quickly. This is the primary virtue of having the time to propose amendments, perhaps have them voted down, is that you can actually look at this thing. And because you're talking about the ultimate document in a state government is this budget, right, to look at this thing.
Right.
Because as a practical matter, whatever amendments the Democrats might like to propose will be voted down. They don't have the majority. They are the minority party. So kind of what's the complaint, right?
Well, not only that, Republicans you don't even have to take a vote on an amendment. If we want to get into the weeds a little bit, if a Democrat, Sally, proposed an amendment, Republican Steve can say, we're going to table this amendment, meaning we're not even going to put it up for a vote. So Democrats say, you know, this is terrible process, and at the very least, there needs to be this discourse. Well, Republicans have maintained, you know, it's a 2-year budget. This is the second year of a budget. It's largely driven out of whether or not there's a surplus. In this case, there was this year, or a deficit, and that the bulk of the budget conversation happened a year ago. It was vetted in committee, and that there isn't a need to, you know, extend this process. They want to expedite it. But of course, that is breaking with decades of standard practice.
I'm wondering to what extent the teacher protest earlier this year might have played into the Republican need for speeding things up in this process.
I think it's absolutely a factor. If you look at the tea leaves of what's happening across the country, and there's this expectation of a blue wave. Some of that is based on the climate and the moment we're in. Some of that is based on American political history, right? A new party takes over the White House. That first midterm typically doesn't go very well for them. I mean, you can think about President Bush in 2002. You can think about President Obama in 2010. Those were not good midterms for them. And that scene, spectacle, moment, call it whatever you want, a couple of Wednesdays ago when you have 20,000 educators and education supporters here in Raleigh, that's a rallying cry, of course. And that's something that's going to be used to energize and mobilize. And we're going to see images of that for the next 5 months or so here. So, no, to I think your point or your question, Republicans don't want that again. They don't want to step in anything that's too controversial. And they would like to get out of here and go home before the next rally of 5 or 10 or 20,000 people congregate here in downtown Raleigh.
Often buried in a budget in those hundreds of pages are little gems of political political plums, as they were. What have you been able to find so far in this budget that's not in the headlines?
I don't know where to begin. There's more than $1 million for some religious organizations, pro-life organizations. $200,000 for schools in northern Mecklenburg County. This was highlighted. We should give credit to the Charlotte Observer in an excellent report yesterday. It so happens to be a district where a Republican incumbent is expected to have a real fierce challenge from the left and a Democrat come November. Then there are other earmarks. You know, there's $100,000 going to Onslow County. That happens to be the district where Harry Brown comes from. He's the majority leader in the Senate. There are some earmarks for powerful folks, as well as earmarks for individuals who we expect to really have a tough fight, so to speak, this November. And one other one, I mean, it was just an extension. There were like 45 different lines in the budget, as there were various, you know, $17,000 here, $200,000 there, a total of $3.1-ish million for 45 different downtown revitalization projects.
All right. And let's again talk about the corporate tax rate. I glossed it briefly, but what happens to the corporate tax rate?
So that's actually something I mentioned. This is a 2-year budget. So, you know, we knew that teachers were going to get, well, what they passed a year ago was a 6.2% raise for teachers. That got bumped up to 6.5. And the tax cuts, or the tax reductions, depending on your philosophy, were passed a year ago. The corporate is going to go from 3% down to 2.5% in 2019. And the individual income tax bracket is going to drop from 5.499 down to 5.25. So those were already passed and expected, and now they're going to be implemented with this fiscal year that begins a month from tomorrow.
All right. What can we expect in terms of debate? I mean, I talked about one of the correlations that Democrats have made in the past, these tax cuts and the failure to bring us back up to pre-2008 spending levels for education. I mean, is that the kind of thing we're going to see? Is this going to be some kind of theater, or have the Democrats folded up their tent and walked away? How are they going to manage this next couple of days in what amounts to a debate without the possibility of amendment?
I expect there to be hours of debate this afternoon in the Senate. There's, I believe, a time limit of 10 minutes per member. Then they'll get 5 minutes on rebuttal. I think you're going to see 2 or 3 hours of debate in the Senate today, and probably more than that, as is commonly the practice on the House side Thursday and Friday. I think that you're going to hear many of the members talk about this budget compared to the symbolic budget that Governor Cooper, a Democrat, of course, rolled out earlier this month, how this differs from that, and you know, highlighting his budget and his initiatives. And I also think it's possible you're going to hear some about the federal funding that came for early childhood education. This was something that Congress approved at the federal level earlier this year, about $70 million for new early education funding. However, only roughly a third of that is actually going toward early childhood education. About 50 of it is being diverted or rerouted, whatever you would like to classify it as, back toward the general fund. And I would expect that's a fairly large re-implementation. And I think that's something you'll also hear a little bit about in the coming days. I do expect some Democrats to vote for this because, again, it's a 6.5% average raise for teachers. This budget raises the it creates a living wage for permanent full-time state employees. And I think one of the things that the Republicans have done very well with this budget is they've almost dared Republicans to vote against it. Because if you vote against some of these provisions, they're going to have a tough time explaining that, at least some of these Democrats in their districts later this fall.
All right. We will stay tuned. Jeff, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Frank.
Jeff Tiberi, WNC Capital Bureau Chief. Just ahead, how a desolate, faded frontier in North Dakota became the site for a modern-day gold rush. We'll hear about the Great American Outpost on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.